What's up, folks and folkettes? I'm Average Trey coming at you with episode 8 of Video Games Are Hard, and I'm here with my co-host, Sided Williams. How's it going?
Hey, it's episode 8. It's not episode 7 anymore.
I remember the episode number at the last minute.
Woo!
And actually, right before this, just a quick anecdote, I actually bought some Christmas stuff for my apartment.
What? For the stream?
I bought some Christmas lights and a wreath, because I've seen the complaints in my Twitch chat whenever I stream. It's like, dude, are you living in a friggin', like, there's nothing on your wall. And I'm like, I know, I don't have any decorations. I'm not very good at this kind of thing. So you know what? I got some Christmas stuff and it should look pretty sweet when I put it up. So
it's better than the jail, though.
Yeah, so I've had many locations from when I've streamed. I've streamed in a closet. I've streamed in a jail. I've streamed, you know, in my actual, my parents' basement. Yeah, I'm in an apartment, so I've been in all kinds of places where I stream from, and it always has its their own name to them. So,
I'm glad. Did you get a Santa Claus hat for Bowser Jr.?
Did I get a Santa Claus hat for Bowser Jr.?
Like, why not, right?
Oh, dude, I should do that. Well,
dude, that's a great idea. That was my first question. I was just like cool Christmas lights are nice, and a wreath maybe get it all festive, but like a Santa hat that's small enough to fit on a stuffed Bowser Jr.
That would be adorable as heck.
Yeah.
I do have a little stuffed Bowser Jr. that Optimistic Emo gifted to me at the previous GDQ, so shout-outs to him. A real shout-out, by the way.
He's a legend. He's a GSA... No, he's not. He's a volunteer.
He is a GSA volunteer.
Woo!
Oh, yeah, we should actually plug that event really quick. So,
Wouldn't it be over by the time this airs?
You're totally right.
let's plug it.
Let's plug it, dude.
Have you watched any of it? I've watched pretty much zero of it.
I'm going to be completely honest. I have not watched a lick of it, but I know that it's going on, and Emo's volunteering to help with it.
I got very sad when I looked at my Twitch following and found BTS Speedrun or whatever it's called now.
Mm-hmm.
And it had like 300 viewers. I'm like, this is sad. I'm sad.
Dude,
and then I just kind of left.
They're just getting started, man. Do you remember you wouldn't remember this, but I mean, the original GDQ, Classic Games Done Quick 2010, had almost no viewers at all. Like, it started from humble beginnings, and I feel like this is sort of the beginning of a new... They're trying something new, all right? You gotta
yeah.
Hear some.
Yeah, that's a better way to think about it.
We can't
just
all start
sad.
Off as big as GDQ is right now, of course.
It's true. I'm with you. Fuck yeah, they're doing it.
But yeah, basically we're talking about on BTS Speedrun, twitch.tv/BTS Speedrun. It's over by now when this goes up, but they're doing GSA Legends, which is it like a, not really a marathon.
It's a speedrun event.
Yes. It's
according to Shift's tweet, there's rounds to it.
Mm-hmm.
I actually have legit watched nothing. I have no idea.
I am looking at the current. So they have like a schedule and everything on the stream right now. It says, well, they have a crew battle for Melee coming up.
Woo!
That doesn't sound like speedrunning, but okay.
Let's go.
That's the speedrun game. Chicken Horse. Then they have. What's up?
I wonder how good Shift is at legit Melee. You know,
I've actually played. I've played Melee with Shift before.
Well, considering he plays the Melee of speedrunning. You know?
Oh, I'm picking up what you're throwing down.
You know, I got jokes.
You got jokes. But, I mean, it's jokes. Not a joke, because Battle for Bikini Bottom is the Melee of speedrunning.
Yes.
Dead serious.
Yes.
Oh, and then coming up, we got Cosmic doing Warpless and Any% for Super Mario Bros. That's interesting. Oh.
Cool.
And got to mention this. Next up beyond that right now is Chillin' Dude playing Super Mario Sunshine Any%.
I heard about that.
But yeah, as you can see, pretty dope lineup. In the past,
well,
when this episode went out,
if you want to talk about, like, sure, that's happened this past weekend.
Yep.
As you're listening to this, whatever that event happened, it's the start of something cool, potentially.
Yeah, GSA. Honestly, I have a lot of faith in GSA. You know, they hosted the Mario Kart Double Dash Time Trials League. They mainly do Mario 64 stuff, but they do all kinds of. They're really trying to get, you know, speedrunning as a more competitive thing off the ground. I think they're doing a good job so far, so.
Well, not more of a competitive thing, more of like an e-sport kind of a thing.
Yeah, I mean, like, obviously, speedrunning
yeah.
is inherently competitive, but this is more esportsy. Yeah, good way to put it.
I just wanted to say that specifically. Anyway,
I didn't word it very well. You're right.
We mentioned that Chill and Dude. Boomy. I think you worded it perfectly. I just wanted to word it better than
you
did.
Yeah, I was perfect. That's why you had to correct me.
Yeah. So Chill and Dude's doing an 80% speed run.
Woo.
Speaking of 80%, this past week, actually, what was it after we recorded last week? Ouija got the record?
Yeah, Ouija got an 80% record back from JJ.
So that was on Saturday night, Sunday morning.
1:14:18.
Without early cycle, which is dope.
So if that doesn't prove 1:13 is possible, I don't know what does.
I wonder how many times during that run, because we talked about the night that he had three runs in a row that were early cycle and pace, and Wilco tweeted out, or yeah, not tweeted out, posted in the Discord. And I wonder how many times during that run Ouija said, this is 1:13. There's no way this is over.
Dude.
Or there's no way this ends. Like, I'm not going to screw this up.
I have a feeling he didn't say that, which is why he actually got a PB.
Wow. What a statement.
Dude, you can't jinx your own run, man. That's not good.
It's horrifying. I mean, JJ's been playing.
Also, considering that Ouija didn't get early cycle, he probably knew that 1:13 was fairly unlikely.
Yeah.
He just was super solid in late game, I guess, so props.
If it was Reed playing, he would just, like, quit. He's just like, I can't get a low 1:15, I'm done. Like,
oh, but by the way, keep an eye on Reed. Honestly, he's been pushing and pushing and pushing, and he's motivated to get that low 1:15. Maybe 1:14 if he gets the god run, but...
Reed's annoying me.
Really? No.
He faces against your 1:15:54.
Yes, for the past few months, Reed has compared against my old 80% PB of 1:15:54. Still does to this day. I guess because it has such shitty early game, he loves going against it.
While his PB is 1:16:17.
Yeah.
And he was up against your 1:15:54. He was 40 seconds ahead going into Serena, had like a meh Manta, so he was like minus 35. So he's minus 35,
yep,
on splits that are 20 seconds better than his PB, going into Serena, dies in Serena 2.
Oof.
And at that point, he's still pace, at least to PB.
Well, here's the thing, is that actually in those splits, you pretty much have to be ahead going into Serena, because I had one of the best Serenas of my life with those splits. So,
but still,
you gotta build sort of like that leeway, which he did, like, but then dying.
But he's not
two.
Trying to. If he beats your splits, cool. Like, if he beats your old splits and gets a high 1:15, cool. His PB is a 1:16:17.
Mm-hmm.
So he dies in Serena. He's still paced to beat his own PB, for sure.
Yep.
Immediately resets. And I'm annoyed.
Sometimes your emotions get the better of you, and you'll rage reset.
I'm annoyed. I don't say anything in the chat. I like post some emotes or something, and then I'm like, I can't say
neutral face.
Yeah.
That's the thing to do.
I post those, and then I go, I'm out. I can't stay here. I'm done. I'm out. So that's Reed's. That's the story of Reed.
I still
like
got
Ouija has
the
new world record.
He just needs to keep. He needs to keep his chin up. You know, I don't know.
Yeah, he's got to keep his chin up.
Something like that.
Yeah. Anyway, new world record. JJ's going for it again. That's the update with any percent. See, we're not going to go in depth. We're a pseudo speedrun, non-speedrun podcast. That was our speedrun segment. We're going to talk about actually more speedrun.
We're going to talk about more speedrunning later, but
but the thought of what this podcast is has come up in the past week.
Oh, yeah, on Twitter.
Somebody, was it Vark? He said something about, like, us not being a real speedrun podcast or something like that, but we're not even really going for that.
Well, he mentioned how, like, the Frame Savers, which is a real speedrun podcast, cover a wider breadth of topics within the speedrunning community, and we focus too much on sort of stuff pertaining to us. But that's kind of the point, is we're not really, like, a generic speedrun podcast. Like, we sort of just do whatever.
But we're going to cover generic speedrun stuff to attempt to be a speedrun podcast this week.
Yes,
kind of, because we're on a break. We've established that we might do like guests every other week, which we've been doing.
So it's like, you know, I think a good balance would be to have, you know, guest one week and then no guest the next week and alternate, so forth.
I think it's a good idea.
The one time we broke that rule was with Cap and the Nemo back to back.
Yeah, well, we didn't know what the plan was at the start.
Now we got a plan, so we're gonna try to stick to it and see how it goes.
And we can prep stuff for 2 weeks, and then we have the really relaxing, just kind of interview podcast in between the we prep what we're gonna say kind of.
Yeah, see, it's funny, the episodes where there's a guest, it's actually easier to know what to do.
Yeah, you just, well, I just sit there and go, what's the next logical question?
Yeah, it's like with an interview, it's like, oh, what can we ask him? You know, what's his resume? What does he play? All that stuff. With us, we got to actually figure out what the fuck we're going to talk about.
Yeah. So, and like, think of what the news of the week is and shit like that.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think that's a good way to do it. And we're gonna end up doing that. But we're going to cover some speedrun stuff this week because shit was found in games, so that we're becoming the speedrun podcast I intended us not to be.
We're going to prove that we can do it even though we're not that.
I don't know what the Frame Savers podcast does.
I think maybe I've even watched an episode or two. I got to look into it more. But
do they talk about like tricks in other games and how they work? Because the name Frame Savers sounds like they go in depth into how tricks work within games.
They probably just cover, you know, the hottest new world records and what it took to get them, maybe.
Pac-Man World 2?
I honestly have no clue.
Do they cover Pac-Man World 2?
They might have done that at some point, for all I know.
Yeah. Maybe you were mentioned on that podcast.
They might have mentioned how Dage got that 41, which we also mentioned that ourselves. I brought it up. So,
Do you think anybody talks about 96 Shines World Records?
Oh, wait, did I say 41? I meant that he got the first 40 flat. That's right.
You're still talking about Pac-Man World 2?
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah. But yeah, so Moon Warp was found.
Mm-hmm. Oh, temporarily, that's kind of a big thing, yeah.
Yeah, and we're going to talk about that. To an extent.
But first we gotta mention how like there's been three game breaking major things found in three different Zeldas in this year alone. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
Well, you have the Skyward Sword stuff.
Two of them in Majora's Mask.
Two of them.
Like there's the Wind Waker SD stuff that's been rumored for a while, and then they figured it out with pulling out the grappling hook and throwing it multiple times or something. I don't know.
Or shooting a bunch of arrows. The funny thing
about the Wind Waker SD one is the Wind Waker SD barrier skip was found a week after me pleading. Because I really liked Wind Waker SD runs back when they were popular, before HD came out and kind of killed it all after that barrier skip was found. And SD just kind of sat there. And I, back in the day, Wind Waker SD was one of the first speedruns that got me into speedrunning. Like, I watched the OOT run, but I also watched the Wind Waker SD runs.
Dude, I would watch Cosmo in late 2012 when he first picked the game up. Wind Waker was hype.
But, so, the week before Barrier Skip was found in standard definition Wind Waker, I was like, I really wish people would pick up that game again. I think it's really cool to watch. I think it has a lot of cool stuff. And I got my wish, to an extent, because they found a way to, like, when HD, Wind Waker HD, found a way to pause buffer the Super Swim, standard definition was right behind them. And standard definition also found this weird barrier skip in order to, like, shooting all the arrows and the grappling hook and all that stuff. So I got my wish of more standard def Wind Waker runs, but it was way different. It was way not the same.
Yeah.
So.
And, like, pause buffering the Super Swim at the very beginning of the run looks torturous, to be honest.
Dude, it's bad. It's bad.
I mean,
and people complain about Super Mario Sunshine's beginning cutscene. It's not a beginning cutscene for Wind Waker, but it's something. It's definitely something.
Well, first you got the 5-minute cutscene, like actual cutscene, and then you got to do that.
Yeah.
So have fun with that.
So that was found.
But yeah,
so I got my
wish. The thing is that I've always cared about SD a lot more because, I mean, I admit that for a while there, maybe even still now, HD is objectively the more interesting speedrun. But SD's the one I grew up with. It's the one I really care about, the one I played, and I like to see that one thrive more. So
they move faster in HD. They pull out their grappling hook or their hook shot, and they just kind of like slide.
Dude, HD just looks so sick speedrunning because you can just slide across the map with the hook shot.
Any item that you can pull out and use the L triggers to just like move Link independently to the item.
Or anything using the gyro feature.
Like, sure.
Is he like gyro aim the grappling hook and the hook hook shot?
Yeah. So it works with everything, but they rush to get the grappling hook first. But yeah. So a lot of the Zeldas have been improved this year. Recently, Wind Waker, like the Skyward Sword one you mentioned, and or not Wind Waker, Majora's Mask. Majora's Mask found the debug menu, which, for all intents and purposes, killed it.
Dude, that totally killed the run, because I'm going to mention this right now, even though this was sort of the thing that you brought up initially, is sure. That... By the way, the debug menu thing is when you play the Song of Soaring 64 times.
Is it 64?
I think it was 64. Maybe 65.
Okay, some amount of times.
And then some crazy, like the debug menu opens up and you can just give yourself whatever you want and beat the game. And yeah.
And you have to play it on Wii U VC.
Yeah. Oh, I guess, yeah, Moon Warp can be whatever you want, right?
Yeah.
That's cool.
So I guess that's a way to rejuvenate it, but... Yeah, I brought it, dude. The fact that Enop moved from Majora's Mask to learning Ocarina of Time for what seems like an eternity at this point. Mm-hmm. He's been doing it for a couple months at this point. But the fact that the Majora's Mask guy moved from Majora's Mask to Wind Waker, you know your game's dead.
Well, no, it was not just like him. It was also Pope Squidward, another prominent Majora's Mask runner, did the same exact thing. Like, everyone moved to Ocarina of Time mainly 100% around the same time because MM was just... That debug menu run was god-awful.
It's horrible, but it's the fastest way to do it. So then any percent's dead.
Until and now.
And then they had to change 100% definition to no debug menu or no superscript. That's what it's called.
Whatever it's called, yeah.
Yeah, so now, recently, they found Moon Warp.
Oh.
Which... they do not a similar setup to Wind Waker, but a kind of weird arbitrary amount of things.
I still can't believe that it's real, because I remember for years, like, probably it was probably memed about as soon as Ocarina of Time Wrong Warp was found, which was found in 2012, where it's like, well, if this is possible, then maybe Majora's Mask could just warp to the moon.
And
the fact that it actually is a thing now in 2019 just blows my mind.
So yeah, they do a weird amount of things. I've watched pieces of it. I've seen
runs like, with it. Actually, SM Loader, my old roommate, explained it to me one time. I was hanging out with him recently. And also I read, you know, Trey's extensive research, back at it again. I read the description of Enop's most recent world record.
Oh, that's a good source of information.
And actually it sort of vaguely explains what it is. Let me read this. It says, "A glitch was recently discovered in Ocarina of Time called Steel Reference Manipulation. In this run, I used a glitch to change which memory address the owl statues look at to determine which map to load when loading an owl save. Because of the glitch, the memory value that determines which map to load is instead based on how many Ocarina notes have been played. Playing 6 Ocarina notes corresponds to loading the Majora map." Huh.
Huh.
So at some point they play 6 Ocarina notes before doing all the crazy setup bullshit, and then I guess it works.
One funny thing before we continue with this, one funny thing that you said in that description, and I know it would frustrate me, and I just want to mention it because I thought of it. Uh-huh. He said that somebody found a way to do it. He said somebody, right? He didn't say the name of the person.
It was Exodus.
Did he say it in the description?
I don't know if he did.
Okay.
But honestly, at this point, I know that... I mean, the original video, you know, got pretty well known, so people know.
Yeah. I just know that if I was the person who found it and people started saying, oh, somebody found it, I'd be like, you know what, bitch.
Okay, I don't want to accuse... I'm going to assume he mentioned him. Like, I don't want to accuse him of something he didn't not do. But some dude named Exodus... What's his handle? I don't even remember. Exodus_122, I believe, on Twitter.
Cool.
Is the guy who found it. So, shout-outs to Exodus.
Nice. Making
the 80% run maybe not, well, definitely a lot shorter. Also not as tedious as that debug menu thing. So,
and you can play it on, I'm assuming, Wii VC.
Or rather not Wii VC.
Well, no, you can play it on Wii VC.
Yeah, WebDC. Sorry, I misheard you.
But that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
So it's so I made the comment that it's just like it's back for a week. It might not be back for only a week, but
it's revived until someone gets a decent run with it, and then it'll be kind of like fading away again.
Dude, really short runs. I don't know.
Well, actually, No. We say that now, but think of how long Ocarina of Time continued to get optimized, even though Wrong Warp was found so long ago.
Yeah.
Like, maybe it'll end up like that game, where, like, they find other little small things to save time, and they, you know, get closer to 30 minutes, and who knows?
Yeah. They find the chest that you store the nut, and you walk in front of the chest, and you get a... a blue potion or whatever.
And just add more dumb RNG to the run, and then it actually will die. But
that'd be so dope.
Yeah, honestly, only time will tell. This, I think the debug menu thing, if that was still the current fastest way, that would kill the game. But this looks way, like, the setup looks manageable and not tedious to do, so.
You know what? After this small conversation that we've had, I've turned the corner. Majora's Mask is alive again.
Yeah, we were gonna come on here and be like, "Lol, it's alive for 2 weeks and it'll die again." But now that I talk about it,
too bad maybe, it's still dead. It's like, no,
it might not necessarily die. We'll have to wait and see.
I guess that's cool. But anybody can make the same comment for Sunshine. It's like, oh yeah, this 1440 for 2 years, guys. And it's just like, yeah, okay.
I don't know. Honestly, we're kind of the victims to blame. Not victims.
We're the victims to blame.
We're the victims. No, we're victims of. Looking into a different community and assuming that they're dead based on how long a record stood and whatnot. But it's always kind of, we accuse others of doing the same to Sunshine. We do the same thing ourselves, though.
Yeah, we're assholes.
Everyone's an asshole.
It's fine.
Including
everybody's
us.
An asshole, dude. Woo. Everybody's a freak and everybody's an asshole. It's just how it goes.
That's them's the ropes.
So that's the new Moon War. It's like, what, 37 now? 36?
I think someone is 37. Inop is 37.
Yeah, it's nuts. To think of back in the day watching Enop do like 130 sub 135 runs and getting record and then chugging milk back on.
Dude, the
back
milk
on,
chugs were so good.
Yeah, back on Twitch when they would allow it, because he wasn't able to do it he can't do it for years and years since.
Wait, Twitch. You can't chug milk on Twitch anymore?
Yeah, it's like self harm.
What?
It's considered self harm.
I have
he
never
he's not
heard
allowed
of this.
To do
That's
it when
insane.
He gets record.
What?
He's not allowed to get it. He's not allowed to do it when he gets record, but
wait,
back in the day,
how is
watching
chugging milk self-harm?
I don't know.
It's sustenance.
There were definitely times where he was chugging milk and going like, it's so cold. Like,
oh, well, yeah. I don't know how he does it with the milk just out of the fridge. That'd be torture. Yeah, maybe you're right.
Yeah. Yeah, self-harm.
If it was warm milk, though, that wouldn't be harm.
Well, yeah, but he doesn't do warm milk. But
you know what? So Twitch needs to check out Badlands Chugs. This dude will chug 2 Daz Boots of Dr. Pepper and whatnot, and it's like nothing. Then again, yeah. He's like a pro, so I don't know.
Anyway, I don't remember what my point was. So he used to, I remember watching him back in the day when he used to chug the milk for sub 135, and then it's funny how I think about other speedruns where they used to be however long, and then there's just like, oh, it's getting to shorter than Sunshine. Like, I think directly in that parameter where it's like, oh, it's approaching
so
Sunshine.
So many games have crossed that Sunshine threshold, yeah. Sub 114.
Yeah, so Enop was grinding and getting... Because what's funny about Sunshine and Majora's Mask is that Majora's Mask was like 137, 135, 134, and then it kept going down.
Yeah.
And Sunshine was kind of a similar thing where it was 132 and 131 and 130. And then we found GBS, and then we're sub 120, and they found Index Warp, and they were sub 130, and then they found what? What was the? It was like one. It was down to 114 with routing with Index Warp.
Mm-hmm.
So I was just like, oh, it's comparable. And then they found the debug menu, and now they've luckily, thank God, they've found something other than debug menu that's faster. That's, I don't know, that's my whole...
And this is when I can be the generic stream monster questioner and be like, is there any theoretical thing that can make Sunshine that short?
Yeah. But we were thinking about that with Twilight Princess, because you brought it up. Just,
Twilight,
yeah, Twilight
Princess,
the only one that...
is the only remaining not super duper broken Zelda game.
Yeah.
Like, it's got a handful of glitches, for sure, but nothing super, like, skip half the game worthy, you know?
Yeah, because Skyward Sword found a trick that saves, what, 3 hours this year?
I'm going to be honest, I have no clue what the Skyward Sword stuff is, but...
I don't know.
Either. Actually, right before all that Skyward Sword stuff was found, I was actually watching a number of gymnast videos explaining how close they are to breaking stuff, but not quite getting it. And then I guess shortly after they actually managed to break stuff, so props to that community.
Yeah, so Skyward Sword found its trick that... Because I remember watching... What was his name? Chocolate Pop-Tart? I don't know.
Just like an, is it Choco something?
It's Chocolate something. I remember watching Skyward Sword speedruns by... I think it's Chocolate Pop-Tart. I think it was Chocolate Pop-Tart or Choco Pop-Tart.
I think it's
something.
Choco Pop-Tart.
And I remember him grinding for sub six. But that wasn't perceived as great. I think the record was like 5:45 at the time or something.
Wait,
like
how
that.
Long ago was
I don't know, I don't know the Skyward Sword order of world records or anything like that. But I remember watching him grind for sub six, and sub six was hard. But now the record is however much, like.
Well, I mean, sub five happened before all this new stuff was found.
Yeah.
Are you talking like 2014 or what?
This is a while ago.
Okay.
A while ago.
That makes sense.
But I remember, because I did not like watching or playing Skyward Sword.
I've never even, it's the one 3D Zelda I have not played.
It's not great. I've had extensive conversations with Kwaniza, our last guest, about how his argument wasn't that Skyward Sword was great. His argument was Skyward Sword was okay. And that's,
wait, no, I thought he was saying it was like one of his best, most favorite Zelda games.
No.
Oh, I guess
his argument was always that it was okay. And that was offensive enough for me to have long-standing arguments with him about
it. Wait, why would you argue that you don't even think it's okay?
I've turned the corner on if it's okay. I think it's okay now.
I'd be surprised if a Zelda game wasn't even at least okay.
Dude, the beginning is very EGAD.
Uh-oh, that's a red flag right there.
Yeah.
But actually, I know about that too. Like, there's a lot of tutorial stuff.
But back in the day, I just think I just disliked it for... It's like the way I used to dislike Galaxy, where I appreciate Galaxy as a casual game now, but it's just so... a horrible speedrun.
Yeah, honestly, casually, it's fine, and it has the best soundtrack of any Mario game, in my opinion.
Yeah.
But
it's still slow as shit.
To speed run.
I was just like, what's the next statement? It's like, slow as shit, yeah. But that's the speed run in you. When you start speedrunning something, you just start infecting all of your opinions of every game that you've ever played with speedrun. Because when I played Galaxy my first time round, I was perfectly happy with it. I 100%ed both games. It was super casual. Like, it was awesome to play through, do all the secondary shines, all the green shines, all the second playthrough as Luigi.
Why can't you call them shines?
It's a good way to call them. You know, you go play Odyssey and you collect all those shines.
You know, what's weird is that I really enjoyed Galaxy 1 myself as a kid. But then when I was going through the game, like my second playthrough as Luigi to ultimately get that whatever 241st star you can get.
Yeah.
I don't know, halfway through it with Luigi, I just got bored and I stopped playing it ever again. But maybe then I just realized it wasn't all it was cracked up to be, maybe.
I don't know what I used to be, I don't know why I was able to do it, but I did it and I totally was fine with it. I remember listening to gaming podcasts with game journalists talking about how Galaxy or Galaxy 2 was top 10 of all time, like video games, and being like, yeah, you know? And now after I started playing Super Mario Sunshine, I hearken back to those podcasts being like, what idiots, what utter idiots. And now I'm back to the point where I'm just like, I get it. Like when you speedrun a game.
You got to remember when people are like reviewing stuff, most people don't play the same game over and over again for hours on end, typically.
Yeah. True.
Like to the extent of speedrunners anyway. So, like, that first casual playthrough, going off of that, Galaxy games are pretty solid.
Yep. And I totally get it. But it's just, like, for a few years, I don't know, some part... Me speedrunning Super Mario Sunshine just negatively impacted... It boosted Sunshine's opinion in my brain, but every other game was utter garbage for, I don't know, a year and a half. So I do really like watching Galaxy runs.
Yeah, I'm not gonna lie, Galaxy, I don't watch it for the movement because, you know, most of the movement, more than 40%, it seems like it's backflip, wall kick, spin, land on the thing, then backflip, wall kick, spin, just over and over again. Honestly, the cool part of Galaxy is the way they like skip to different planets early. Mm-hmm. That was like pretty cool sometimes. So.
And it's a really fun run to watch. And I really enjoy watching the run. And I've never not enjoyed watching the run, but I always talk shit about it just like I do Odyssey because I just have to.
As Sunshine Runners, it's our duty to shit talk other Mario runs.
Yes, except for Mario 64 because we have the utmost respect.
We have to just totally respect that game, you know, yeah. As the
predecessor otherwise we're just our game. Otherwise, we're just assholes if we
exactly
don't. Exactly. It's like, oh, you play Super Mario Sunshine, and you make fun of Super Mario 64, and you're
dude,
just like,
64
yeah,
runners are in the ideal position. They can make fun of whatever Mario game they want.
Yeah, they make fun of Sunshine. We can't do shit.
Nothing is safe from 64. They can make fun of whatever.
Dude, I wonder if we ever talk to a SM64 runner, I'm gonna make sure to ask like what the community, if the community used to make fun of or have an agreement to make fun of certain Mario speedruns. Like, do they talk shit about Galaxy? I don't know.
I feel like Galaxy is too far gone from that game for them to like even be on the radar.
Well, because with Sunshine, it's the sequel, I get.
Yeah, they probably should talk Sunshine, but like not necessarily in organized groups or anything.
It's like, what a horrible beginning cutscene.
Oh, yeah, everyone shits in the cutscene. That's just, you know. Everyone.
Yeah. Like, we collect a star and we only have to wait, what, 15 seconds or 10 seconds?
We only
got to
get through Womp's Fortress after resetting it, like, every 3 runs or something. Fine, though.
We're just trying to think of, what SM64
yeah,
players
Womp's
say.
Yeah, Womp's Fortress over and over again, so lame. Yeah. Get them. to wrap up that Zelda segment, basically... Because we're talking about Zelda.
We were talking about Zelda?
Yeah, we were, surprisingly.
Yeah.
TP.
Moonwarp.
TP is the only save game right now, which is why we got to get Geradim on here at some point.
Yep.
We promise we'll get him on.
He tweeted out that he was interested in playing Twilight Princess.
He did.
Recently.
That's our Geradim update. We're going to get him on here at some point. We're going to ask him. We're going to be the stream monsters. Ask him if there's any theoretical skips in that game. So.
But next week, we have our guest already lined up.
Oh yeah.
I need to message him soon saying
we're not
going to
spoil
the podcast.
Right?
We're not going to spoil it.
We're never going to spoil our future guest.
Yeah. We're never going to spoil it. It'll be a surprise on the day every time.
Total grab bag moment.
I asked him to be on the podcast a month ago, and he was like, "Yes."
What's
totally,
funny is
totally.
That he actually it came from the fact that he actually hosted my stream.
Oh yeah.
Had he not done that, this might have not been set up.
Because I was in the call and I was just like, "Wow, it would be great to have him on the podcast."
And yeah, and you know what's funny?
He's just like, "Yeah."
Is that he hosted me when I was playing, not Sunshine, but Fire Emblem Three Houses.
Good transition.
And you know what I just did in the past week in that game, right?
You're about to tell me.
I'm about to say it. I completed my maddening non-New Game Plus playthrough of the game.
What a legend.
Yes, I did it. This is going to be that. Yeah, good transition. Thank you. I was like, how am I going to work this in from talking about Zelda? I have no idea.
We did it somehow.
But yeah, basically, for those who aren't aware, I've been really into the Fire Emblem Three Houses, the newest Fire Emblem game that came out on the Switch. I've done 3 playthroughs now, my maddening one being the most recent one, and maddening mode being the highest difficulty they made for the game. And it definitely shows there were definite moments where I was struggling to get through. And I just want to talk about that a little bit because it's, you know, the biggest casual gaming thing I've done in recent history. So why not? Sid talked about Death Stranding. I'm going to talk about this.
Yeah, sure. Go for it.
So basically... I started this playthrough about 2 months ago. I actually streamed the entire thing, funnily enough. You know, I thought at many points, you know, am I really going to keep streaming this whole playthrough? I get so few viewers for it, and blah, blah, blah. But you know what? I stick to my guns, stream the whole thing. And you know what viewers I got during the playthrough It was a pleasant surprise. You know, I got to give the biggest shout out to Audioblood, my most dedicated viewer of that game. You know, really made the experience a lot more fulfilling. It was fun to sort of like banter with him and, you know, theorycraft my strategy, my insane strategy. And yeah, I had a fun time streaming it for sure.
I remember I watched a lot of it.
Yeah, you did as well,
out,
for sure.
Making my Mario Maker levels or playing not playing Death Stranding, but just like doing other things, playing Tetris or something.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember the later missions, you were complaining a lot about the spawning in late enemies that ended up being behind you, being able to attack first turn and you not being able to do anything about it. So you had to go back in time in order to prepare for what the game was about to throw at you, but you weren't supposed to know about.
Yeah, so Maddening Mode throws several different things at you that make it way harder than hard mode. First of all, every enemy has like a unique ability. Like basically Maddening Mode, archer enemies are like the most pathetic thing in other difficulties. But in Maddening Mode, every archer unit has poison strike, which means that if they attack you first and they hit you, it'll do their damage amount on top of 20% of your health, just taken from your health immediately. That's
is
pretty
it
cool.
20% of your max health or the
20% of your max health.
Oh, Jesus.
Although it doesn't kill you, so if you have like 1 HP left, it won't kill you. But still super annoying. It'll like weaken your units significantly faster. And furthermore, as Sid mentioned, there are, I believe they're called ambush spawns, where enemies that spawn can move the exact same turn they spawn. In hard mode, they just like spawn, they sit there, then they move. But now in this mode, you gotta like almost either know ahead of time or predict it. Thankfully, the Divine Pulse system is in there, which makes it gives you a limited number of times to go back to a previous turn. You start with 3 uses of it, and by the end of the game, you have like 10, which honestly is a little ridiculous. It almost makes it, you know, you can sort of like throw something at the wall, see if it works. If it doesn't work, just go back in time. But I think for Maddening Mode, there were a number of missions where I used each and every one use, and I barely got through it, so I'm kind of glad I had them.
You gotta admit that you did do the shortest playthrough possible.
Oh, I didn't even mention that. So there's 4 different routes in this game you can take. Because the Black Eagles route actually has a route split, and I went the Crimson Flower route, which is when you join Edelgard. And it's actually the shortest route by far, also has the weirdest and lamest story, I'd say. Only 18 chapters, but regardless, it was still quite a challenge to get through, especially. So the way that, like, difficulty-wise it goes, it super, I guess, front-loads the difficulty. Like, at the very, very start of the game, it is, even the mock battle is super tough because you have so little resources and, like, you gain such little experience, it's actually kind of crazy. But then by the end of early game, closer to time skip, it actually gets pretty manageable and pretty easy. But then time skip happens, you know, you go 5 years in the future, and at that point, the difficulty spikes significantly again. I think that the hardest mission for me was the second, I guess it was chapter 14, the second mission post time skip, where you eventually face Claude. That mission in particular was just like totally nutty, and I wouldn't have beat it if my Ferdinand von Eyre wasn't a wyvern rider. That really carried my ass.
Yeah.
I see what else. Also, you know, the paralogue missions, sort of bonus missions you get, were all pretty insane for the most part. Some more insane than others. The Edelgard one, they spawn 4 wyvern riders a turn at you, and it's fun to deal with that. But I got through it somehow, so I'm proud of myself.
Do you want to mention how weirdly cheap that route is with the cutscenes and the lack thereof?
yeah, dude, you're like my wingman. You got
dude, I got your back, man. I paid attention.
I can tell. So yeah. Most routes actually have a pretty interesting story with a lot of fully fledged out full motion cutscenes in their time skip segment. I think Crimson Flower literally had like 2 cutscenes in the whole time skip. It was kind of sad,
dude. I remember watching the time skip and being like, I don't even know what happened. Like because in the other routes, your character falls off a cliff or something, mm-hmm. and you're knocked out for 5 years. They don't even play any. They go, oh, professor. And
I think yeah, literally what happens before time skip is, so I don't know if it's really a spoiler. Basically, Rhea does something.
Rhea does something.
She does something. And then it cuts to, like, the screen starts shaking. Edelgard's like, Professor, watch out. Then Hubert's like, watch out. It fades to black. And then boom, 5 years later. Doesn't explain what happened, but I don't know. I think Crimson Flower, it's intended to be like the last route you play, but sadly enough, I think it's the route that most people played first, because Edelgard was so heavily advertised in the trailers and stuff for the game that people are mostly going to pick Edelgard route, and then obviously they want to stick with her because you don't want to lose Edelgard, and so you end up doing this sort of half-assed 18 chapter versus 22 chapter route that doesn't have any cutscenes, and I don't know, but me personally, I played Blue Lions first, which honestly, I think Blue Lions had the best story, so.
And this was your first Fire Emblem.
One thing I gotta get out there to anyone, even considering playing a Fire Emblem, or sort of into turn-based strategy games of any sort.
Is it, don't start with this game?
I would say do start with this game.
Oh.
Because the reason that I played it in the first place was that a friend of mine, another fellow Good People member, Huffle Your Puff, suggested it to me. He's like, yo, the new FE's coming out. You want to try it out? And I was like, you know, I've never played one, but like maybe I'll get it. But I mean, $60, I don't know if it's really worth it. And eventually, I guess he somehow convinced me to get it. And I'm glad that I did, because it totally, I would say that I'm pretty into the series now. You know, I've actually started playing another FE game, the GameCube one, Path of Radiance. And I've been enjoying that so far as well.
You look at Fire Emblem Three Houses and you're just like, I don't know, $60. Luigi's Mansion 3, though. Let's go.
But another thing is that if you do get the game, though, it's definitely worth the $60. But I would say opt out of the DLC for $30, the season pass. I guess the best feature that came with that is that you can feed the cats and dogs in the monastery.
the maid outfit?
So if you want to do that for $30, be my guest. But otherwise, you just get like, you can play as Anna, which, I mean, who really gives a shit? It's like the shop owner. what else is there? You can, there's more outfits you can choose from, I think.
Yeah, the maid outfit.
Actually, I don't remember if the maid outfits are free or not. Maybe they come with that DLC. Either way, I would say just pay the $60. Though there is one more DLC wave coming out, Wave 4, which might make it worth it, but I kind of doubt it, but we'll have to wait and see on that. So.
The 6'4" guy, what's his name that we were talking about?
Yuritsa. Oh, actually, yeah, Yuritsa's free as well.
Oh, so he's free.
Maddening mode is free. Yuritsa's free. Pretty much anything, the sauna's free. Anything worth having is already free. So, I mean, nah.
Yeah, that was going to be my question. It's like, was he an update? Because I know he was an update, but I didn't know if he was like new DLC thing.
Yeah, and actually Yuritsa showed up as Wave 3 DLC during my playthrough of the one route where he shows up in your party. So he just showed up in my party, chapter 15, I had him. And honestly, he was a super solid unit.
Like, sup, I'm 6'4".
Like, he just showed up.
What?
He's really tall. I think he's, yeah, is he your height?
No, he's 6'4". I'm not 6'4".
Oh, yeah, he's much taller than you, yeah.
He's taller than me, and I'm just like, this guy's, because you were
looking. Wait, that ain't right. Someone's taller than me. What the hell?
Because we were looking through, you were, when you got him, you were looking through the stats and looking through him, and you're just like, I'm looking at him like, he's 6'4", and you just kept going through all the heights.
I'm looking through, and, like, their actual stats, and you're like, just looking at the heights.
Yeah, Edelgard's is like she's like 5'4".
She's like, well, that's 5 foot the only thing, two, that, dude.
Yeah, she's insanely short, but she's the tank,
but she's
of your
an
team.
Emperor. And, oh, okay.
Crazy.
So I think that, honestly, my first playthrough, maybe my second one, I learned, because my second playthrough I did Golden Deer, hard mode, New Game Plus. And honestly, New Game Plus I'm not really a fan of. My play style, my preferred way to play the game is to just be able to barely survive, live off of scraps, and get through the game like Maddening mode, non-New Game Plus. New Game Plus, you can start with so much shit, you can totally just break the game. And some people are into that. Some people like to make an overpowered unit, overpowered squad, and just blast through shit. But personally, I'm not really into that kind of stuff. I prefer to just, like, yeah, you know, use my tactics to just survive off of what little I have and just barely survive stuff.
That's interesting, because, like, the Dark Souls New Game Plus just makes all the bosses way harder. Like, you have all your shit from the first playthrough.
Essentially, New Game Plus in this game, it just makes things easy. You can start with all your battalions, and it's pretty broken, but
that's lame.
Yeah, I think if you're, it's more for just like messing around and just, you know, trying to break the game. But I'm not really into that, so I'm probably not going to play New Game Plus again. Go ahead.
If you were going to talk about more Fire Emblem, I was going to talk about another game, but go for it.
What was I going to say? I think it was, so even though I did two playthroughs before this one, I definitely learned the most from this playthrough. I think 80% of what I know about the game I learned from this third playthrough. Because like when I played Easy Mode Blue Lions, it was my first time playing FE. I really had no clue what was going on half the time. I hardly even knew what determined my like attack power, which is strength plus the might of your weapon. I didn't even know that much, so I was totally clueless, but just sort of blasting through on easy mode. But this playthrough really forced me to figure out every little niche mechanic, you know, figure out what charm does, why it's so important, why Dorothea's Rally Charm carried my ass in early game. And just every little individual stat, I figured out what each of them do, which ones are more important. Like, you really want to get the blow abilities on each character. Basically, you can master different classes and get different abilities from doing so. And, like, Death Blow, Darting Blow, and some other one are super, super good to have on people. It basically, if you attack first, you get, like, 6 bonus strength or attack speed by just attacking first, which is super crucial. I learned so much from this route, but I also learned things that I shouldn't do, because as you know, mistakes are quite possibly the biggest teacher of all. Don't make Edelgard a Fortress Knight like I did. Because my thought process was like, okay, I'll make her a Fortress Knight. She'll have just super high defense, tank everything. But as it turns out, in maddening mode, enemies have so much strength that your defense is hardly going to matter. And you're so slow that you get doubled by everything. Everything, so speed determines if you get doubled or not. Every enemy was doubling me, like double hitting me. And I was super slow, and I mean, I was tanky to some extent, but honestly, I should have taken her on the Wyvern Lord path, but whatever, don't do that. And what else was there? I learned that, I don't know, in general, other than the Edelgard thing, I just learned how to be more efficient. I think if I do a future playthrough of Maddening Mode on New Game Plus, I'll be able to get through it much quicker. Maybe, because I know what I'm doing. So
you say that you learned 80% of what you know about the game is from this past playthrough. Is there any part of you that, to bring it back to the fact that we're a speedrun, non-speedrun podcast, just to try to keep that moniker, is there any part of you that is interested in running this game?
No. But the thing is, speedruns do look kind of cool. I haven't watched like a whole run of it, but I'm assuming that like you can really just, because on easy mode you can definitely solo the game, which soloing means you just use like one unit the whole way. Like you can solo with your main character, the avatar character Byleth. I think that's what they do, but maybe they add someone else into the mix depending on what route they speedrun. And actually, a full game run of the game is about an hour and a half from what I know. And it's actually going to be ran at the upcoming GDQ coming up. So be on the lookout for that.
Is it the playthrough that you just did with the 18 chapters?
I believe it's going to be the shortest one. Actually, yeah. So it is that one.
Yeah.
People do runs of all 4 routes, though, from what I know. So it's not the biggest community for speedrunning, but it definitely has a number of runners. So
maybe it'll grow. Who knows? New game.
Yeah, maybe.
So to go back to the New Game Plus thing, it's really weird that is the way they chose to do it, because the Dark Souls way to do it is to up the difficulty of all the bosses, and like, sure, you have all your stuff still, but you know what? All the difficulty's up, so it doesn't really matter that you have all your shit still. But so like the other side of it is, it's not really a New Game Plus playthrough. You could always New Game Plus through Dead Space, one of the rewards, and I was telling you about this the other night, for beating Dead Space 2 on the hardest difficulty, you get a foam finger as a gun.
Telling me about that, yeah.
Yeah, and it kind of reminds me of your playthrough where it's just like, you get all these items at the start and you just kind of blow through the game. Sure, people might enjoy that and other people might not, but I don't know. I like to go by the skin of my teeth. If you get this foam finger for beating the hardest difficulty, and it was my last trophy, I platinumed the game, and my last trophy was to beat Dead Space 2 on the hardest difficulty, which you had to beat it, what, with three saves? Like, it was the hardest difficulty, and you only had three saves to use.
Wait, you can only save three times the whole game?
Yeah.
What the hell?
And
how long is that game?
It's, I think my last playthrough was like 8 hours.
Oh, so it's not like a, I was going to say.
No, it's not insanely long. Like, especially when you're good at it. Like, when you're good at it, you know what you're doing. Or however good I was, there's probably people way better than me knowing speedrunning exists. But, so I played through that and got the last reward. And the last reward was, and it made me replay the game over again. Because it was so cool. It was with New Game Plus, you can take all of your previous equipment and stuff. But, or I guess specifically in Dead Space 1, in Dead Space 2, your reward for beating the hardest difficulty is a foam finger where Isaac Clarke, the character, he holds up his foam finger and you shoot it as a gun, but instead of ammo coming out, he just says, you have a primary and secondary fire, and he goes, for the primary fire, bang, bang, and the secondary fire is pew, pew, pew.
That's amazing.
And everything just dies. Like everything, like nothing. It's so hilarious, and it made me play through the entire game. Everything has one health for this gun. You can use your old guns, and it's still really hard. Or you can use this foam finger, and everything dies in one hit.
That's
even
amazing.
Bosses. You just hold up, and it goes bang bang, and then it's dead, and then it just blows up. Like it just explodes, and it's amazing. What a great reward.
That sounds like one of the best rewards for a New Game Plus type thing I've ever heard of. You know what I got for what I did? My reward hard fought, blood, sweat, and tears game playthrough was a new title screen.
Yay!
It's a slightly more golden color to it. So I got that.
Yay!
as proof that I did it. I did the thing.
What a great reward for beating the hardest difficulty in a video game.
But the thing is that like you got to do it. You know, not even if you do it New Game Plus, it won't count. You got to do it non-New Game Plus, and you know, you got to earn that shit. So yeah, at some point I will do the fourth route I haven't done yet, which is the church route. Some point in the future. For right now, though, I'm playing through Path of Radiance on the GameCube, having a good time with it. And it's cool because like so many things between games carry over mechanics-wise. There are some differences I'm getting used to, but this playthrough definitely has opened up the door to the series to me. I want to play other games at some point, so I will check those out in the future.
So that's what Trey's been doing casually.
Yep.
My casual gaming update, and I'm not going to talk about Death Stranding forever. I'm just going to mention it. I'm going to talk about Death Stranding for 2 seconds. I've been playing Death Stranding.
But I want to hear it forever.
I'm starting to hate it.
Really?
In a way that only my brain would hate it. Where you're sitting there, and I really want to full complete everything. So
see,
it's so time-consuming.
That's kind of tedious, because from what I saw from your stream, you were trying to get 5 stars on all the missions and stuff?
Yeah. Like, 5 stars on all the colonies. So, like, if you find lost cargo and stuff, it's not too bad. A lot of them are pretty easy to 5-star, where you just have to do enough missions for each settlement in order to earn 5 stars. And just literally the reward most of the time is just a star on your pant leg. So I have like 15 stars or something, but I'm not done everything, obviously.
But it's the time missions that are the killers, right?
Oh, time missions are horrid in that game. You have to, in order to see, the stars are independent from the ranks you get for each mission. I've stopped caring about the ranks for each mission because you can literally send bots at some point in that game just to do your mission. And sometimes
really?
They come back with a C rank, and I'm like, yeah, okay. But I could have done it myself and gotten an S rank, but I don't care. Also, you get likes. I don't know, whatever. There's a lot of weird valueless things in that game, but at the same time, I want my Farmville part of my brain wants me to do every single mission in order to 5-star each play, and I just have stopped doing the story. And the one thing that everybody loves about that game is the story. So I've just been slogging away, carrying all these packages to all these different settlements for a star on my pant leg, a star sticker that every single time, whenever you get a star sticker, the person from the settlement goes like, oh, I hope you have enough cargo space in order for that. And it's just a sticker. he sends you every single time. It's like, oh, I hope you have enough room on your case for
For a sticker.
This shit. And then it sends up like a cargo case. And every time I'm like, maybe it's not just a sticker and it's just a sticker. And, but like, I still want to do all of it. And it's annoying the fuck out of me.
That's the Luigi's Mansion, you know, elevator button going in the elevator shit.
Yeah, but it's self-imposed.
Yeah.
I just have stopped doing, anyway, that's my complaint about Death Stranding. Even though I love playing it, and well, I've gotten to a point where there's like really cool combat-ish area, like people are actually trying to murder you now, which is cool, but
are you able to, when you beat the whole story, like go back on that file and 100% everything?
Probably.
See, I don't know, like, can't you just like sort of do it in moderation, like do a few missions, do some story and go back and forth?
Yeah, it's just, I hate it for me. I hate it because I'm me.
You just like want to get like everything done at once and then move on?
It's because I like the game. Which is a weird, like Luigi's Mansion 3, I was just like, you know what, I'll finish the game, it's fine. I don't care about any of these jewels.
Yeah, as of right now, I don't feel like going back to that game either. Like,
but
I don't know.
But with Death Stranding, I'm like trying my best to S rank everything, and if I don't, I'm kind of sad. And then, like, I'm trying to 5-star all the settlements, but the Collector has very, very specific missions in order for, there's a settlement called the Collector that I'm having trouble getting 5-stars in, because he has very few missions. And you can also pick up the random care packages. Anyway, because I'm me, the game's annoying, and I haven't done a lot of story lately. I just need to, like, buckle down and just play the story.
I think you would enjoy it more if you sort of, you know, do some story, then do some 5-star attempts. You know, that's my advice.
Thanks, man.
Even if it would kill you inside to even think of doing that.
Dude, I've been thinking about speedrunning this game.
So you mentioned to me that the speedrun actually went down by, like, 3 hours.
Yeah, it's 5:40 now or something.
From
like that.
8 hours.
Yeah, so that's good.
Yeah, they're making progress on that run. You think it'd be fun to route?
I don't know. I haven't finished the game. What's funny is that I feel like I'm like those Luigi's Mansion runners that we were talking about, where it's just like they're speedrunning the game the first playthrough, so in order for them to speedrun it eventually. But I'm sitting here being like, I'm not speedrunning the game at all. I'm trying to like full complete it, all this shit. But like in the back of my head, I'm like, I really want to speedrun this. And I think it would be horrible. But I think I might end up doing one run of it just to see how bad
it is. A 100% run?
I'll try to route it like I tried to route Assassin's Creed Brotherhood.
Yeah, which was zero attempts even made, so not even doing it.
Dude, fun fact about Assassin's Creed Brotherhood, the reason I found Rip Skip, which is a skip.
Well, we might
that
cover this more
like,
in depth in the next podcast.
Yeah, I'll just talk about it right now really quick.
Okay.
And then, but the reason I found the skip that I ended up finding in Assassin's Creed Brotherhood is because I attempted to route 100%. Like if I didn't attempt to route 100% or like do the extra missions, I wouldn't have found it.
Sometimes some crazy side effects can come from the most unexpected places.
Yeah.
Like routing 100%.
So maybe if I try to route 100% in Death Stranding, I'll find Rip Skip.
Dude, you know, the Rip Skip like of Death Stranding.
Yeah. But even though you can skip pretty much every cutscene, it seems like. Which is good. Less cutscenes than Super Mario Sunshine, Hideo Kojima's Death Stranding.
Who would have thunk?
Who would have thunk? But yeah, talking about speedrunning, Trey and I were talking about, we might do like a pseudo speedrun awards thing.
Oh, right. You know, sort of, you know, to, I don't know how to put it. The game awards are coming up, right?
Yeah.
And so as sort of a side thing to the game awards, we're going to do our own speedrun awards of 2019.
I don't know how they're going to go.
Eventually. We'll work on it.
It'll be in December.
For today's episode, which Zelda game got the most broken skip? Is it
Majora's Mask,
Skyward Sword, Wind Waker, or I don't have anything funny for the fourth option.
Twilight Princess.
I was gonna like say something not even Zelda.
But yeah, the thought of doing the speedrun awards came from the speedrun awards came from me wanting to talk about the game awards and how Death Stranding is up for game of the year. There's no way that wins. There's no way Death Stranding wins. So many people hate that game.
It might win for like story or something, right?
Maybe, but it's up for game. It's not. It's not
game of the year, UPS driver simulator.
Did you see the donkey video?
I actually haven't. No.
It's so funny. Like, from a perspective of somebody that loves the game, he hates the game, and it's just so funny. Somebody said that it might have been a meme, but I don't think it's a meme. Too many things are way, like, on the head. Like, too on the head.
I think that Death Stranding is definitely a polarizing game. Either you love it or you hate it.
Yeah.
I doubt that many people are like, yeah, it's all right. Actually, also the idea of the speedrun awards that we're maybe going to attempt to do came from the fact that I was like, you know, every gaming podcast ever is going to talk about the game awards. So what do we do to set ourselves apart?
Speedrun.
Speedrun related thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Best new world record. Super Mario Sunshine. It's over. We just did it.
Was the best world record JJ's time or Ouija's time that's objectively better? I don't know.
Did JJ's get early cycle?
JJ had really good luck. I think he did.
Okay.
Still.
I know he was crazy. I know he was high at the time, and I know he doped.
Oh, yeah. It was with, you know, that Lance Armstrong style doping, of course.
Yeah.
Only way he was able to get it, honestly.
The Ouija one that's objectively better. But yeah, that's our thought towards that.
Yeah.
And I think it'd be cool. And I also might want to talk about current games, because I actually want to play the list. Luigi's Mansion 3, not on the Game of the Year awards list. You know? Weird. Weird.
Also, what we might include in our little spiel is best 2019 game speedrun from our perspective of not knowing very little about how they actually are.
We might do some research.
Just like pure conjecture. Like, which do you think would be the coolest? Like, oh, Death Stranding, of course.
Just like, we just move our discussion about Moon Warp and all this, basically not knowing a lot of stuff about Index Warp or not Index Warp, Debug Menu and all the new Skyward Sword stuff and Moon Warp, and just kind of move it to that podcast and be like, yeah, we basically know nothing, so we're just going to give an award to whatever we think is
basically
best.
We want to do as little research as possible and make it as authentic as possible. If we, you know, if we're doing research for this, it's not really from the heart, as they say. So
that's one of the things that I've written down. I have complaining about having things prepped.
But like that's the thing, is that we kind of have to prep for these, you know, solo episodes.
I know, right?
Otherwise, we start it and we're like, anyways, gaming.
Well, because the reason that we started doing these, had the idea to do the podcast, is periodically we just talk for an hour and not record it, and just it falls into the ether. And we were just like, that was a really good conversation. We should record it. But now we have to like,
it's talk. Really, I wish that we could somehow like transfer the natural feel of those random calls to a podcast, and like, I don't know, it's hard to do that though.
Yeah, it is really hard. And I was gonna complain about that.
Basically, what we're saying is, don't take this podcast too seriously. We're not gonna research like super in depth and like know every little aspect of how Moon Warp works. And
but we might
the subtleties of Death Stranding speedrunning, all that stuff. Actually,
I'm gonna talk about
Sid might know that stuff at some point.
I'm going to talk about the subtleties of Death Stranding. That is going to be the name of episode 70.
The subtleties of Death Stranding speedrunning.
Yeah.
At episode 69, when you finally got all the S ranks, like, now I can start speedrunning. And then
you can't redo missions, though, so I can't redo for an S rank. Sad.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then.
Yeah.
Wait, then how are you... Oh, so you got to get like enough missions to get 5 stars? Is that how it works?
Yeah, you don't have to do the max of everything. There's consistently, like, I've 5-starred so many colonies or like settlements, and they just have random care packages or dropped cargo everywhere still. Like, I walk by craftsman or engineer lost cargo all the time, but I 5-starred them days ago. And I still walk by them and I go like, maybe I'll put, no, fuck that. I'm prioritizing cosplayer and collector Lost Cargo because I don't have them five starred, and like set like specific settlements that I haven't done. I'm like, oh, I'm gonna go grab that. That's an XL package, and then I like walk by an XL like settlement that I five starred, like the Craftsman or the Engineer. I'm like, fuck those guys. They already like me, which is really funny.
But yeah, that's Death Stranding for you. He's still making progress toward completing it, 100%. And I think, are we ready for the unveiling of a brand new segment?
Let's attempt this.
All right. Well, as you all know, as most of you know, I am the world record history of Sunshine Guy, quota, by the way. Meet the quota.
Quota.
And yeah. I'm most famously known on the internet, perhaps, as being the Summoning Salt ripoff guy. So, without further ado, this is going to be the first segment of WR History with the Summoning Salt ripoff guy and Sid.
And me. Hi.
I'm Sid and you. What the fuck?
I know. I just
and
wanted
Sid,
to say
and
me
you.
Again.
And me.
And Sid. And me.
And you. And basically, yeah. So, you know, world record history videos, they're very super scripted, very well prepared, very well thought out. What WR History is going to be is very little to no preparation, talking about some random either meme category or random IL progression of history. And yeah, we're just going to get right into it. Our first WR History, what's it going to be on, Sid?
It's going to be on Bianco 8, the IL history of Bianco 8 in Super Mario Sunshine.
Whoa, Sunshine-related WR History. You got to love this one.
Bianco Hills.
All right, so where do we start off this journey? How did Bianco 8 in the early days start off?
All right, in the early days, nobody cared. Mm-hmm. All right, just
nobody
to start
gave
off
a
there,
shit.
Nobody
2014
cared. It's like
came
box
around.
Game. Yeah, eventually people started caring.
In 2014,
like nowadays,
actually,
care about...
because you may forget to mention this, I released an IL compilation in the summer 2014. This is when I was pretty new to Sunshine. The final level I showcased in that IL compilation, I bet you can guess what it is.
It was Bianco 8.
It was Bianco 8. And honestly, I was so proud of this time that it was the one level I showed with game audio, no just like background, whatever music I used over it. I showed it with the full-fledged game audio. I have no clue what the time was, but that was the record at the time, I'm pretty sure. So our journey begins with this random IL compilation video I put in a video. It might have been like a 110, 112, I don't remember.
Was it 120 shines or was it 96 shines?
It was the plain Jane, no blue coin, 96 shine, just pure IL. Yeah.
Yeah. So in from that point, Trey had the record.
I had the record in 2014. I don't know what time it was.
And then there was a swath of time where before I started playing 96 shines a lot, in late 2015, we take up Bianco 8 again.
By the way, before you continue that, we should mention what the mission is. So for those who've forgotten,
coins.
Bianco 8, it's the red coins over... It's not the red coins in the village, that's Bianco 4. It's sort of closer to the windmill, where all the tightropes and shit are.
It's the red coins of the lake.
It's the annoying one where you gotta like climb the tightropes and there's wind hitting you down and you know the one. You know, episode
it's the
eight.
Red coins of the lake.
Red coins of the lake. There you go.
Yeah, that's what it's called.
I gotta specify what the lake is, but I guess there only is one lake.
No, I know. They're just kind of above. They're on the windmills.
They're very high up.
In the town. It's the one that you see runners use the rocket and hate.
Everyone hates it, but when it goes well, it's very satisfying.
It is very satisfying.
But when it doesn't go well, it's... with rocket storage, it's easier to back up. Before rocket storage, it was a pain in the ass to back up.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Actually, the backup is rocket storage. The straight route doesn't use rocket storage at all, which is funny.
Yeah.
It does use dive rollout rocket now, but we're getting ahead of ourselves.
Oh, yeah, we're getting into like modern history now. We got to calm down.
Bianco 8. At some point, Nindide... In order to revitalize when Trey had the world record, in order to revitalize attempts of the IL, for me specifically, was Nindide posted a video of doing a dive rollout rocket at the end of the Bianco 8 segment for 120 shines in order to get the blue coin on the top of the windmill with a pokey. So you like do a dive rollout rocket on the very closest or the the windmill platform with the blue coin above it at the end of Bianco 8, and you do the dive rollout rocket very perfectly. I remember Trey had issues with it right away, like how to do it so well.
Well, yeah, here's the thing is that when did it release this video, you know, of the Bianco 8 IL with the rocket rollouts, at this time, no one actually knew how to do those except for Didet, I think. Maybe like some random Japanese guy as well.
Did he find him?
There was a time period. I don't know if he found him, actually. This is how well prepared the segment is. There was a time period for at least a couple months. I don't know how long it lasted, where this IL just kind of existed, and he knew how to do these rocket rollout tech things, but no one else bothered to figure out how to do them. And one day we're like, I think Strongman Len mentioned, like, oh yeah, you got a whole day when you do the rollout and it works. Like,
you got a whole day.
Got a whole day. Okay, there you go. Know how to do it now. Boom. Thanks, Strongman
Len. That's funny. So yeah, so Nindide posted that video of that dive rollout and got Trey's mind racing.
You got my juices flowing. Like, I got to optimize Bianco Wade in 120 shines now.
Yeah. Let's go. Make it optimized.
And make it ideal in a sense.
Pardon me?
I got to make it ideal.
You got to make it ideal. So he posted a YouTube video called The Ideal Bianco 8.
And needless to say, it's the greatest IL ever made.
Yeah, it was so good. It was so good that it inspired me.
And it's still the record to this day, right?
Yeah, it's still the record.
That laugh makes me nervous. Maybe it's not the record.
It inspired me when I looked at it to be like, this is utter garbage. I'm going to do this better. So that was the record at probably like 105 or something.
Dude, I have no fucking idea.
Actually, no, it wasn't even a 96 shine.
Yeah, so there's differences. There's Bianco 8 for 120, then there's straight up Bianco 8. In the 120 shines route, you get the blue coin on top of the high at windmill, the pokey above the shine spawn, and maybe somewhere else. But yeah.
Yeah. So you don't do the shine from point A when you start to the end of the shine, straight shot like a 96 shine route.
In this ideal Bianco 8 video, it was made for 120, so I routed in the 120 blue coins as well to it.
So I looked at it and went, you know what? I don't care about blue coins because I'm me. Back in 2015, I even didn't care about it. This is 2015 for sure.
Guy, yeah.
This is 2015 or 2016?
I want to say it was 2015, to be honest.
And I looked at that and went, yeah, I don't care about blue coins. I'm gonna do this IL without blue coins. And I just did the 96 shine run and went, Trey, your video's trash. Like something along those lines.
Okay, what did you even like improve on it is what I don't remember.
I remember the ideal one had,
I'm gonna find a video right now. You just keep talking.
Better rope movement. And
basically my ropes were not optimized whatsoever. Like Sid actually figured out a lot of cool stuff on the ropes to improve it.
Dude, I'm the only person I think I'm the only person in Sunshine that understood the ropes. Like, at how to use ropes at all. Like, I've been talking about doing a rope tutorial for like how to control Mario and make him face the right direction that you want him to tutorial for Super Mario Sunshine. But I've talked about it many times. I'm assuming people have learned it from me talking about it so many times, but
I learned it.
I was the only person that knew.
I was trying to figure out the Noki 6 Red's tightrope movement. And it took you yelling at me like four different times to finally nail it into my head. Like, oh, you got to have the camera angle a certain way and hold up, and then it works.
In my notepad, I have the illustration of how rope angles work. Anyway, so I did better rope movement, figured it all out. You didn't turn with the rocket. Like, I made it so that Mario turned and had a better angle towards the seventh coin, and debatably better tree movement, easier tree movement for me anyway. And
oh wow, this like, was 2016. What the hell? It was 2017. Yes. The fuck?
Yes.
I'm gonna watch this and see how bad it is. Also, the biggest challenge of this segment is that there's no video to show. So yeah. You gotta just like, we gotta like explain things as best as possible.
So anyway, I saw his videos, thought it was trash, improved it. He went, you know what, I can do better. And Trey and I actually traded back and forth in late 2016.
Yeah, I started doing the non-120, just like straight up IL of the level.
Just trying to beat me. And we got it down to like probably 59, 58. Trey, notably with his last submission for the world record, He did beat me. He got the world record with that video. But he the caption of the video was, "I'm sorry, Sid." Like, that he had beaten me so hard. He just assumed that he had beaten me so hard, but he had only beaten me by by 5 frames, he noted.
Okay, let me explain this part. So I was doing attempts of the IL, just the straight up non-Lucoin IL, and I was like, okay, I'm going to include these strats. I think I found like one other thing myself almost. Actually, that can't be right. I never find stuff. Anyway.
Almost.
I think I just had like a really good IL. It felt like super good to me. And I assumed, I had no clue what the actual record was, but I assumed that I beat Sid's record by at least 1 second. I was like, there's no way he's anywhere near this good. So I check his time and it's exactly 5 frames faster than, or 5 frames slower than mine. But I had to stick with my same narrative, right? The narrative of, oh man, I beat his ass. So I kept in the, I'm so sorry, Sid, even though it was literally like a 5 frame improvement.
I remember seeing the captions, just like, I'm sorry, Sid, and I'm just like,
what the fuck is this guy talking about?
At that point, I had already recorded a better IL than the record that you posted, and I was just like, oh, all right.
Dude, I should have just removed that. I was so disappointed that it wasn't a bigger improvement, but I just kept it anyway.
So then I got the record back by some amount of time. Like, it's really hard for us to do the world record history, like, slapdash like this. Bianca Wade is a really interesting shine. If you watch any 96 shine runner or just 120 runner, Bianca Wade is really satisfying. It's really punishing to suck at, but it's really satisfying to do well.
Oh, and also the ideal Bianca Wade and, like, you improving it and sort of like that little back and forth we had, I think that in like in a span of like 2 or 3 weeks, there were 3 or so new strats found which could be applied to both 120 and 96 shines.
I'm a legend.
So the IL got super optimized from my kind of shitty video.
Yeah, inspiration.
You're welcome.
But you know what? We don't call it a shitty video. We call it an inspiring video.
A very inspiring video. Anyway.
So I had the record for a bit. Trace stopped. For some reason, maybe he was playing 120 or something.
It's too good. I can't possibly beat him again.
He can't do it. It's like Rasmus in Mario Maker.
Well, okay. Is this the point where you found like that super good ending where you, into the final red coin, you do a regular rocket dive and then last minute Y turn and then you land like on the ledge, then you rocket from there to the shine?
I don't know.
Or was that found
later? There was like a year or two break. I think I found that late 2018.
Because that was actually like a pretty crazy improvement where like you don't land on the tightrope beneath the ace coin whatsoever. You just sort of go over it.
Yeah.
And it's super fast. So
it is super fast. And I'm glad that I found it. I think at that point, Shadow Mario was playing Bianca 8 because it's it stayed dormant. Bianca 8 IL.
Oh, yeah. You had that record on lock for a while.
Yeah. For probably 2 years. Shadow Mario started doing it and trying to beat my record, and I was like, good luck. And then I think he beat it, and I was like, shit.
I'm so sorry, Shadow Mario. Then he beats it. Oh, fuck.
Oh, no. And then I went back into Bianca 8 to try to beat it faster and found the last movement towards the shine, or like through the eighth red coin.
Oh, is that when you found the thing I was talking about?
That's when I found that. Okay, it was definitely late 2018, I think. But then Shadow Mario, I got the record back, I think, I'm pretty sure. Shadow Mario killed the record for me anyway. I've gone through phases in ILs where I'm like, I'm down to do whatever in order to get this IL. And since grinding Noki 6 Reds, I've actually been very about grinding strats that I'm only doing in runs. Mm-hmm. So I'm not willing to learn new strats that I'm never going to use other than the IL itself.
I'm kind of the same way. In a sense, like when you're doing RTA stuff, full game runs, it honestly hinders you to practice IL only strats, because then when you get to those levels in the runs, your muscle memory is like thinking of the IL movement, and then you inevitably you just fuck it up, and then it's like, oh crap.
Yeah, learning the new IL strats by Galapagos for Noki 6 Reds actually caused me to lose so many runs in Noki 6 Reds, and I had to like force myself to relearn the old strats, because the new strats saved what 0.3 and were so much harder.
Yeah.
So super not worth.
Like I grinded Rico 5 ILs to get a 55 with the practice code timer timing. And I did get 55.81, but I actually started losing any percent runs to that level by trying to be like too optimal. So it can be a problem.
Yeah, I agree entirely. And so that little anecdote of my mentality towards those kind of strats, Shadow Mario got the record back. And he got the record back in a way that I wasn't willing to compete with. He got, like, there's this, using an earlier dive, this whole thing started with the dive rollout rocket and ended with the dive rollout rocket, which is very funny. He found a strat in order to find the third get the third coin, I think.
Oh, yeah, we didn't mention that. So even though we knew how to do the dive rollout rockets, they weren't actually used until this very Shadow Mario IL used it.
Yeah, he... Well, it's not used in RTA at all. It's so...
No, it's way too inconsistent. The only one
it's
that,
so hard.
Actually, okay, the only one that is used RTA is in the 120 run when you do it from the blue coin platform to the top of the windmill.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I'm saying. This whole arc of Bianco 8 grinding started with Nindide discovering Dive Rollout Rocket. And
I don't know if he discovered it is the thing. I
you know what? I'm just going to say it.
Let's just say he did. I don't know who else did it.
I all I remember is Didde doing it and everybody being like, how the fuck do you do that?
And then just like radio silence and like no one knew how to do it. And then one day Strongman Lin says, oh, you hold A. Like, oh, okay.
Didde back in the day was very, very coy about his strats. He wasn't willing to let you in.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
quick anecdote is he also found the clip in, well, not the clip, but like utilizing the old clip in Noki to get to the Noki blue coin below the water in Noki 4. And then entering the eel cutscene loading zone from there. And when we asked him, I think Wilco told me a story of, he asked Didde how he did that whole thing. And Didde responded with, I do it and it works. And I was like, okay, well. And at that point I was like, all right, I got to figure it out myself. And the one thing I had to figure out was you have to hold neutral when you get the zip. And then I figured it out from there. But yeah. Anyways, back to Bianco 8.
So yeah, it started with him finding that tech and we all figuring it out. And then now, like, it and then inspired Trey, and then I was inspired by his video and we all did Bianco 8. And it ended my grinding of Bianco 8, or my world record history part of Bianco 8 IL, is with Shadow Mario doing the same dive rollout rocket tech on the lily pad in order to get to the third coin faster, and it's insanely hard and really hard to especially not RTA at all.
Oh,
not
no,
RTA friendly
not.
Whatsoever. And I was way past the point of doing really hard strats in RTA, like I said before, and or in ILs so that I wouldn't by accident try to transfer them to RTA. So Shadow Mario improved it by probably a second, half a second. I think it was at least a second. It was a second.
Yeah, it was pretty significant. Like, I think you were done at that point.
I was like, I'm done grinding this level. It's over. And actually, this new, for the end of the world record history and where it sits right now, Shadow Mario's world record stood for a year, almost a year. And recently, like we've been talking about periodically on the podcast, there's been some new IL life.
Yeah, so basically, at some point, Noki Doki's in-game timer for all levels code became more universal. And actually, like a couple years ago, Dutch J made a spreadsheet like specifically for the in-game timer codes. And the spreadsheet really took off a few months ago. Like, it was a lot of activity on it, even from me. And because of that spreadsheet, it inspired some players to really optimize some random levels in the game. One of them being Bianco 8, which Equivocal Genius now has the record on with, according to the timing method, 57.67.
After grinding it for a bit. So congratulations to him.
Here's the thing, right?
What's up?
We mentioned, we throw these times out like, oh, 51, 57. But what does it all mean? But the thing is, it's hard to agree on the timing method of non-in-game time ILs. Because, like, do you start it before the fade-in cutscene on first input, Shine Select? Like, when do you start it, you know?
Yep.
And he got 57.67 with the timing of these in-game time codes, which I believe starts on cutscene fade-in.
Yep.
And it ends on the Shine Get cutscene starting. So
the record technically used to be better because we used a different timing method, but yeah, it's definitely faster. He uses the rollout rocket that I'm not willing to even try to do. And so yeah, that's where it lies. Shadow Mario hasn't tried to get it back because nobody, it's Bianco 8. Nobody's really sitting there going, I need that.
In general, ILs in Sunshine, you might think that they're dead looking at speedrun.com because they kind of are on there, but they can be super active on the spreadsheet. You just got to get practice codes, get the in-game timer codes, and then boom, which Sid doesn't have, so sorry for him, but...
Sorry for me.
It's okay.
I just get my world records during runs and then upload them to speedrun.com being like, oh, I got this 100 coin shine IL that nobody cares about.
Dude, Sid just gets his god fluff during Piazza Hidden in runs, and that's the IL world record.
Dude, I think that would have been god fluff if I didn't screw it up, but anyway.
But you said there was like a better IL than that.
There's definitely there's a Japanese player that definitely has a better IL than my split there.
Yeah, so Piazza Hidden is like the most janky IL in the game because you can sometimes grab invisible fluff flying around, which it eventually disappears and then teleports elsewhere. So you can just like warp anywhere on the level. Like it's super inconsistent, but you can just like warp to the top of the tree and save a shitload of time, but it almost never happens. It's like winning the lottery.
I've only gotten it twice in my 96 run. I think I've gotten them both this year. But this past week I did do a 96 shine run where I in Pianta Hidden on a not great run, it was like 235, it was like 236 pace at that point. Mm-hmm. I got a fluff and I was just like, I grabbed the invisible fluff and I went, this is an invisible fluff. Is this going to teleport me up to the top?
Yeah. You gotta like sit there and wait, like, wait, maybe it'll teleport me. And then
yeah,
it did.
So I did sit there and I waited for it to teleport me and it did. And I didn't react in the way you should. You should just jump off of it, but I climbed up by accident and whatever. I still golded the split, but it's
yeah,
not IL.
But you didn't quite reach the top leaf. You just like reached the rocket nozzle platform.
I think it would have reached the top leaf if I jumped off. That's why I'm
right. But like in your thing, you didn't. But like theoretically, yeah, you could have.
I went for the rocket, which is good.
But anyway, so that's where the record stands with Equivocal Genius. I might link the IL spreadsheet in the description. Very few people outside the community actually know about it because it's more of like a community thing. But yep. That concludes our first ever WR history with Summoning Salt Ripoff Guy segment and Sid.
And me.
With Sid and him.
Sid and me.
Actually, I just thought of something. What if it's like Summoning Salt Ripoff segment with Trey and Doudan?
I don't like it.
Because you're
know
the voice
Doudan
of Doudan in that one
that.
Video.
I did do the voice of Doudan in that one video.
But I guess you aren't actually Doudan, though.
I'm not actually Doudan.
As much as
Doudan
we all wish that you were, sadly you're not.
Doudan is a dude that exists somewhere.
And he didn't die a single time that time.
Die.
A single time. A time. Anyway, I think it's a good time to wrap this up, right?
Yeah, I just wanted to say one thing. I'm excited for the new Jumanji movie.
Ooh, legit. Jumanji.
That's all I wanted to... I would have talked about it more, but it's whatever.
I'm excited for the new
Jumanji
Jack
movie.
Black.
Yeah.
Personally.
It's an interesting way they're taking it. They're all in different bodies now. So it's like it's funny because they're putting the same actors just in totally different roles.
Yeah.
So it's this, it's just like a different personality has been put into their heads, and I'm really excited to see what they do with it. That's pretty much it.
I may actually go try to see it. It sounds pretty interesting.
Yeah, you should watch the original, and
I gotta watch that too. But I doubt that I'll have to watch that to understand this one.
No, you don't have to watch the original Jumanji in order to understand the reboot Jumanji.
And then again, as we get closer to Christmas, I gotta watch Die Hard. And determine for myself if it's a Christmas movie.
It's definitely a Christmas movie. If you say otherwise, we might be done doing a podcast.
I'm gonna go in with an open mind, but you know, we'll see.
Yeah,
we'll see how I think about it.
But yeah, that was episode 8, not episode 7, not episode 9 of Video Games Are Hard.
Definitely 8. You know, for a fact.
And that was I think that went well. So everybody have a good time. I've actually started doing 96 shine runs every other day. So I'm going to plug my Twitch channel.
Really quick.
I'm going to plug my Twitch channel, twitch.tv/SideWilliams.
Our Twitches and Twitters are linked in the description. And so if you, feel free to leave any questions pertaining to anything to either of us in the comment section below if you're listening on YouTube. Again, we're on Spotify and Google Play. So thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening.